We're glad you're here with us today on the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. We pray God's Word speaks to your heart today as Pastor Chapman Laxton shares the Word with us.
Well, good morning. I'm glad you guys are here today. I'll tell you what, the last few weeks here, we've been talking a lot about being on mission. We've been talking a lot about keeping the mindset that we are on a task, we are on job, we are on and called to perform what the Lord has decreed for us. And taking it from just a step of a suggestion and more of, this is an assignment. Our lives are assignments. We're not just floating through. Man, if you missed Pastor David Hilton last week, he came and brought some fire, suiting up, get suited up because it's time to get it on. Man, last week, it was a phenomenal word. If you missed that, I encourage you to go back and listen to that one. That was a good one. The Spirit of God's been moving, and if you're not, I don't want to just say that because he always is, but I just really feel like that there's just been just some things have been going on. I just feel like there's just a spirit and atmosphere of us being ready. God, and what we need to understand by that is that God is always ready. Okay, God, we're not waiting on God. God is always ready. Amen. But it's us. Are we going to be in an attitude? I just really feel like as a church, we've just been making a shift. And so I'll be honest. I was getting really excited. I've been getting really, really pumped up because, okay, all these other sermons that have been coming before me, I'm like, okay, Holy Spirit, I'm ready for this fireball word that I'm getting ready to drop. And I just want to be honest with you today. I'm not going to be up here hollering and screaming at you today. Now, please know, that doesn't mean that I don't think what I have isn't as anointed or that it's not as powerful by the Spirit. There's been a lot of redemption taking place, a lot of spiritual chains being broken, some things lifted off of them the last few weeks, some discipleship that's been taking place, some recommitting to the Lord that's been taking place. And I mean, come on, last week, men, they're standing up with a shout of victory. I mean, there's been some empowering. It's awesome, it's inspiring, but if we don't keep our focus on the discipleship, we won't be able to continue to carry out what we've been empowered and equipped to do. And I just really felt the Lord lay this on my heart. I got a good old-fashioned 4-point sermon for you today. I got a good Baptist boy up front, our pastor. Now he's ready for a good 4-point. No, but my sermon title today is called Goals in God. Goals in God. And I chose that name on purpose. And I wanted to make a distinct. I want you to make the distinct. I want you to have awareness. Let's word it like that. This is not goals with God. These are goals in God. We should have goals in God. And here's what I want. Here's what I mean by that. A lot of times, whenever we have goals with God, what we are doing is we are asking God to go ahead and get along with the goals we've already decided we're going to do anyway. See, what we do is we say, God, I want you to do this with me. God, I'm going to need you to stop what you're doing, get up and come here to me because I've got some things that I'm trying to accomplish. See, God, what I'm wanting is, this is what I'm doing, so I want you to go ahead and pre-bless this so that I can go and do this because this is what I'm going to do anyway. So are you coming or not? And not that we don't, and please hear me, not that we don't have goals that we do with God, but I want to purpose it in our heart this morning. These are goals that are set in God. We should have things that are set in God. We're not telling God what he's going to do or how he can move or what would be most appropriate for him at the time to make it. No, these are goals that we should be having in God. They are set. They are concrete. And I just want to address some very practical things today. In God, we should have very clear, defined goals. And this isn't just specific to men or women. This isn't just a men's thing that men have goals that they should have in God. No, men and women have things. This isn't an age thing. This doesn't start once you reach a certain age, and it doesn't end once you reach a certain age. You should all the time always be asking, what are the goals that God has for me in Him? What are the things that I should be looking for to be accomplishing as I'm trying to live on mission, as I'm living redeemed, as I'm living called, as I'm living empowered, as I've had my Holy Spirit moment, as I... Okay, well, now what am I going to do with that? Because if we don't get past the rah-rah boondier stuff that happens on a Sunday or on a Wednesday, then we just live doing this in church and then doing this Monday through Friday. You ain't got any goals. You don't have anything. You don't have any concrete you're trying to achieve. And yeah, you're real good about getting pumped up. You're real good about hitting the altar. You're real good. I'm sorry. I don't even know why I buttoned that. That was just sorry. So anyway, I'm going to go there. But it's not. It's not specific. We should have concrete goals. And we do this with everything else except for the most important thing. Except for what really matters, like Hannah was praying this morning over us or talked about this morning over us. When we drive somewhere, let's just make it real simple. When we drive somewhere, I'm not just hopping in the car. Put my car in drive and then just, all right, let's just see where I go today. Let's just see where I end up. I don't know where I'm driving today. We don't ever do that ever. But we do that with God. When we go to work. Now you might act like this, but your boss expects you whenever you show up. There's some actual things that you do when you're at work. But you don't walk around, the job site. You don't walk around. Now, some of you do, but they don't stay employed for very long. But we do that with God, though. We'll work for human masters better than we ever work for an eternal master. Oh, that's not even in my notes, but when we play a game, I tell you, the youth, I used to think kids didn't care that much about games. No, they want to know, what's the rules? Macy King's one of the best. What are the rules and how bad can I beat somebody? That's what Macy wants to know. How bad can I, they lost, I get it, but how much can I make them lose by? Like, we want to know the rules. We want to know there's a goal and I want to win. If we're playing a game, I want to win. If I play a game, I want to win. But we don't do that with God. We don't live like we have goals. We don't see the goals. We act like we don't even care about the goals. We just want things to manifest. When we read the Word of God, well, God, I don't understand that. And close that, put that down. That's if we actually get our Bible out. The Bible app pops up a verse. Sweet. You're literally just throwing it out there to chance on what the Bible verse is going to be that you're just going to sure hope that's something I need today. When you pray, you might as well just be firing a shot into the sky because you just got no real goal of what you're praying about. Well, the prayer of the righteous man availeth much. Yeah, but that's because it has goals. It has a purpose while we're praying. The purpose, now please hear me, the purpose can just be, I just want to talk to God. That's accomplishing a goal. But you starting a prayer and you praying away and getting all caught up and you all you do is pray your problem and you don't ever actually pray to the one who can fix your problem and you just want to vent to God and talk about how bad and how miserable and how... God's waiting on you to shut up so He can answer what you've got to say. You got no goal when you pray. And when you worship, is it just about I come into a room and then I wait for the words to come? Or in your heart, am I already attuned to, God, You are so good. I love You, Lord. And then whenever Shelby or Mel or Teresa or Jason or Rob or Olivia or Micah get up here and they say, David Naylor starts playing the guitar. It's like, oh my gosh. So what are your goals? What are your goals in God? When you look to God, Do you see him for what you can only get from him? Or do you ever, ever, ever consider in the relationship that there's something that I can do for him? There's something that he would want me to do in him. See, I've got 4 points today. We've got 4 points, 4 keys of us having success in our goals in God, and they're found in these 4 things. So if you're taking notes, you can write these down. What, why, when, and how. What, why, when, and how. These are the 4 keys of us having goals in God. The first key, again, is what. What. Philippians 4:8 says this, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what. Everybody say what. On what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. What is an important thing because it determines whether or not your what is worthy of God's time. What are you pursuing? What fills your time? What are you excited about, passionate about? What is a key thing? Because if your what isn't true, well, we got a problem. If it's not honorable, we got a problem. If it ain't right, I mean, we can just keep going down the line. What are you fixing your eyes on that you are, this is what I'm all about right now. This is what I, some people, the question is, what you just need to just even ask, what are my goals in God? Some of you, it's not a matter of you've got some that are wrong. You don't have any. You thought, oh, God will just, I'll just vibe my way into. No, you've got to have some things in God that are what that you are considering every day that you live. What has the, and then if you get a goal, what has determined that goal for you? Well, society did. I want to say this about that. Your goals don't always have to just manifest within yourself out of the ether because you think this is a what. There are sometimes what's that are determined by people that are great, that are godly. Your kids, your parents have goals for you. They've given you some what's. That's good. Your teachers give you what. They have goals that you have. As a church, we've got some what's. We give you something as pastors. But what determines those things? Is it honorable? Is it true? Is it right? Is it just? But sometimes, if we really reflect on what has determined a certain goal for us, really, if we look at it, we go, it's not anything good. Society told me I should have that as my goal. My friends that don't go to church and don't read the Bible think that that's cool, so that's a what that I really want for myself. See, what are your goals? What do you think about? Because what I really want you to get in this point, and the main point about this is, some goals just aren't worth pursuing. Some goals aren't worth pursuing. They're not worth your time. They're not going to ever reward you for the time you spend pursuing that thing. Some what's are things that you're pursuing that you'll never actually get the reward that it says that it can promise you. What determines whether or not a goal is worth pursuing is the end result. And if the ends don't justify the means, then the goal's not worth pursuing. See, so much time, so much catastrophic damage can be prevented if you and I would just identify some of the what's that we have in our life. Because a lot of what's, a lot of things we put up on pedestals, a lot of things that we decide that's what we're after, that's what I'm all about, if we really thought about it, it really doesn't matter. It really actually doesn't matter. That person's opinion that you are chasing, that clout that you think, that thing that if you buy that, that'll bring you, that job, if you could just get this, they got work. You gotta deal with people. I get all that, but if you have, I just want to put this. This is just on my heart right now, just with the sense of the people thing. If you have to beg, borrow, and steal to get someone's affection and attention, you'll have to continue to beg, borrow, and steal to keep that person's. I don't know who that's for today. I just was on my heart just now. If you've got to go against what God asks you to do to get somebody's attention, you're going to have to continue to do that. I don't know who that's for, but that's just. But see, so many people wasting them things on things that won't produce. It's catastrophic to your mental health, your financial stability, and just your overall well-being, chasing what's that don't matter. You know, whenever you're determining your what's, you've got to have two things. You need a North Star, you need foundations. Okay, and here's what I mean by that. A North Star is a guiding principle. Okay, it's a dream. It's what you're looking at. It's what you want to have. Okay, your North, you know, you think about back in the olden times, people would cross in the oceans. They didn't have any landmarkers. It was the stars. It was, this is what I'm pursuing. It's not where you are. Your North Star, the goal that you have, that's why the things that are in God are so important. They're not where we are. I'm not there yet. I'm hoping to get there, and I'm using that as the principle to help guide my life. When God calls us to be perfect as He is perfect, as perfect as I may think that I am, I find myself fall short of the glory of God. I use what He says, not comparing myself to others. See, you can't have a North Star and then compare yourself to other people and go, that's the standard. That's not the North Star. Christ is. He's the guiding star. He's what guides us. He's the example. But then you've also got to have this. You've got to have the foundation. So I said, you got to have North Stars and foundation. So you got a North Star, you got a dream, you got where you are. And then you've got, okay, the reality of where you actually are and what you tangibly you can do. I get it. You think you want to go play in the NBA someday. The reality is you can't dribble with your left hand. That's the foundation. So if you can't marry those two things. If those things aren't going in line, there's some things that are going to happen. So I can't say, okay, Christ is my North Star. That's what I'm going for. But then my foundation, what I'm actually standing on right now is I'm an awful person in everything I do all the time. I don't care about people. I don't. Those two things, I can't say that's my North Star, but then the reality is I'm never making any steps towards that. Seeing your what determines those things. And then there's just the good old-fashioned, you know, I get it. We live in America. And this is why we need North Stars and foundations. We live in America, okay? And in America, you can be everything that you want to be. You can be anything if you'll put your mind to it, if you'll work for it, if you'll just believe it. Okay, that's America. In the kingdom of God, you can't be that. In the kingdom of God, you can't be everything. You can't be anything you want to be. You can't do anything you want to do. You can't do anything you want to do with whoever you want to do it with or do it to. You just can't. And you have to be careful when you're making those plans, especially in our society, because we try to marry kingdom goal setting and American goal setting, and we try to make them fit, and they don't. The kingdom of God operates much differently than the kingdom of America does. And if you're not careful, you'll find yourself frustrated at God over the culture that you and I live in. Proverbs 19:21 says this, "You can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail." You can do whatever you want, make whatever plans you want to make. You can set whatever goals you want to set. But God's purpose is the one that will prevail out. Here's what I would like to do. I would like to not waste my time on my own plans. I would like to not have to face the heartache of that. I need concrete goals. You and I need concrete goals to have what we need in God. And we can't move the goalpost. Okay, if God says this, I can't reel that goal post in a little bit closer to make it easier for me. Well, this is good enough. See, moving the goalpost does not help you meet your goals. It sets up an illusion of success. It's a twofold problem. The first part is, again, it keeps you from enjoying actual success. See, this year is the first year that I've really bow hunted really hard. Okay? And I'm going to tell on myself here. Because a bow hunter, I am not. I'm a deer hunter. I've shot bows and I've shot deer. I've just never shot deer with a bow. Okay? So this year I've been trying my hand at something new. I have a concrete goal whenever I get in the stand. I want to kill a deer. That's the goal. That is my goal. And whenever I have missed last week, I have missed about 5 times. Now here's what you gotta know. Matt, don't be shaking your head at me now. I'm going somewhere. My goal is I wanted to kill a deer with a bow. I didn't shoot at the first doe that I missed the first time and then shoot again at her before she finally decided she'd had enough getting shot at. Get down off my stand and go, did it. That's not the goal. The goal is not to miss. I was aiming at my goal and I missed. Okay? So that was on Wednesday morning. Then, no, I had the days wrong. Anyway, the days don't matter. But I think it was Thursday or Friday, I can't remember. I had a buck come, shot at him and missed. Then he walked out again. Let me take another shot. This time, I hit him. Only, again, what's the goal? The goal is to kill a deer. He turned his head at the last second and to scratch his back, and my arrow hit his antler and exploded. Now, again, the goal is not to hit a deer. I didn't go down to find the shattered remains of my arrow and go, yes. I did it. I hit a deer. No, the goal was to kill one. That's the goal. So yesterday. See, the story gets better, Matt. This buck comes out. I got a little antsy, and I shot under him. But that's not the goal. The goal is not just to see deer and shoot at him. The goal is to kill one. And so he came back around. I remembered my year of training that I've had since I've gotten my bow. I took my time, and I shot, and I killed a buck yesterday for the first time ever. Now, please hear me. That's a goofy story. But that's what we do, though. The goal is this. The goal is I want to do something that I've never done before. Or the goal is I want to be a different person than I've ever been before. I don't know what that's like. We don't get to because the situation is hard, frustrating. I get it. You could have handled it a different way if you'd have operated how you used to operate. Well, if I could just cuss the guy out, I could have got my point across. Okay, yeah, but that's not who you want to be. We're not moving the goalposts because you have a different what? You guys with me? You guys, that's how that... See, as a preacher, you can make anything spiritual, so. And you got to know this is the last thing I want to say on what, I promise the next 3 won't be quite so long, but Christ didn't do that for us. He didn't just come and live a perfect life. He didn't even just come and die. He came, allowed himself to be tortured, ridiculed, put on a cross, mocked, and then died. And then died for you and I. So that's our, and that's what I mean, guys. That's our example. Christ didn't even do that. He didn't move the goalpost. Okay, well, God, this is enough. Surely this is enough. He knew what God had called him to. Y'all with me? Y'all see that? Okay. Second key of our goals in God is why. Why? Why? Why is this a goal? See, once you determine what your goal is, you better figure out a why. Now, the why may be just simply because, well, God said so. And that will get you by for a little while. But you've got to determine some whys as to why you're doing what you're doing. The reason why, no pun intended, is I want to give you a quote by Benjamin Franklin. And he says this, failure to plan is planning to fail. Now, why? How does that tie in with the why? Without a why, without you determining a why, without you figuring out why you're doing this, you're just planning to fail eventually. Because without a reason why you're doing it, when you meet confrontation, whenever you have conflict, whenever there's an easier way to do this or a better way, I'm going to take that way out because I don't have any reason why I'm doing this. You get what I'm saying? You've got to have some whys. Life is already hard without whys. Life is already hard with whys. It's a lot harder without them. Why would I stay married? Why would I want to raise my kids? Why would I commit myself to changing as a person? Why would I continue to want to make church a priority, even though it would be a whole lot easier to sleep in on Sunday? Don't you know how hard I have to work? Why do I have to give a tenth of what I make? Why? See, without you having a why, you'll just be like a dog chasing a car. That was like 2 years ago. Our dog got hit by a car. That was a long time ago. Sorry. You'll be like a dog chasing a car. Why am I doing this? And have you ever stopped to consider that dogs don't ever bark at parked cars? You're just chasing motion. You're chasing what you don't understand on any level. Now, please hear me. When we're pursuing God, you're not going to understand everything. We talked about that this morning in Adam's elevation class. You're not going to understand everything. But there's some things you can grasp to give you some whys. You better get some whys. World-renowned poet and two-time heavyweight champion of the world, Mike Tyson, said this. Everyone has a great plan until you punch them right in the face. Now, I want you to meditate on that. I want you to meditate on that. It's very spiritual. See, without you having a why, without you having a why, I want to be a godly man. I want to be a godly woman. I want to be a great husband. I want to be a great wife. I want to be a great dad. I want to be a great mom. I want to be a great coworker. I want to be a great business owner. If you don't have any whys, when life hits you right in the face, I'm getting out of this ring. This ain't worth my time. This ain't worth my effort. This ain't worth all this blood and all this snot and all this crying. This ain't worth all this. You don't have any whys. You don't have any whys. And whenever life hits you in the face, Isaiah 43, here's a why. But now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed you, who says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you go through deep waters, I'll be with you. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. Here's your why for you. Why would I do all this? Because God says, you are mine. You will not go alone. I will go with you. And this is going to produce something really good. So why? Why? You've got to have a why. Because well-laid plans are often disrupted by unexpected and harsh realities. This highlights the importance of us having adaptability in God. Anybody can serve God when everything's going easy. I'm just telling you, it's easy. When people walk up and put money in your hand, like, man, God just told me to give this to you. It's easy. But when this thing breaks down and that thing breaks down, and then you're trying to get this thing fixed, and then you get T-boned, and then you're trying to... That was a little too close, too soon for me. You're trying to do all these other things. Why am I even doing this? Because I belong to God. I belong to God. Without a why, you'll stop doing what's right. You'll stop being committed to what you know you've been called to. You've got to have whys. You've got to let your whys be understood through that God is with me and that I'm going to have vision. It's an important, important pillar. You've got to have a why. You've got to have a why. The third key here is when. When. The third key of having goals in God is when. Okay, Chapman, I get what you're saying. I've got to have goals. I've got to have this. But when do I start? When do I start? A lot of times, especially when I'm dealing with youth, a lot of times I have this. They have this conversation. Well, once I reach this point, once I get my car, once I turn 18, once I leave the house, once I graduate, And for people who are not young people, sometimes the thought is, well, I've never done it before. When am I going to find time now? Now I've got bills. Now I've got a job. Now I've got kids. Now I'm trying to do this. Now I'm trying to take care of that. Now, when am I supposed to start? I know. I'll wait till life gets easier. Can anybody in here testify that that's ever come around? The convenient time, right? No, today. Today. Today's the day. Today is the day of your salvation. Psalm 118, verse 24. Whenever Joan and I come to school, we pray this a lot. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Please, Lord. This is the part we leave out of this verse. This is verse 25 of this chapter. Please, Lord, please save us. Please, Lord, please give us success. See, it's not just about recognizing that today I'm going to choose to be happy in today. There's a recognition of I'm still in need, Lord, of you today to help me. I need your help again. Today is a day that you have made, Lord, and I am purposing right now in my heart that I will rejoice in it. But Lord, today, Lord, please save me. And please, Lord, please give me success in what you know I'm trying to pursue in you. Today is the day. Don't put it off. People want to say this a lot. They want to say that if you'll allow yourself to learn by experience, it's better. Because experience is a great teacher. Well, please, please, please hear this. Experience does teach lessons. But experience, he is a very harsh, cruel teacher. You will learn, but it will be painful for you to learn. Example, someone else's example is a much kinder teacher. Well, when should I get started? Whenever the people who are above you in your life, people who are in authority over you say, you need to do this now. Do this now. Please. Because their heart behind it is, I don't want you to have to go through and learn what I went through and learned. Because I was too stubborn to learn from someone else. See, the Bible has a lot of examples. And those examples are meant to teach you that to don't put off, do it today. Start today. Start. You know what the goals are that in God that are in your heart. You know what they are. Start today. Make a step toward it today. Work towards it today. Don't let heartache, heartbreak, and all the frustration that comes from failure have to be what teaches you, okay, I should go ahead and start. Well, now that I've hit, rock bottom is a great place to be at because there's nowhere further to go down but here. That's not how you should ever want to have to live your life. Yeah, I get it. Rock bottom does mean you are at the lowest that you could be. But man, isn't it nice if you could get started with a leg up? Like, we ain't got to wait till we hit a rock bottom and then go, all right, now let's turn this thing around. Let's start today. Start today. Today is a great day to start setting goals. And sometimes it can be hard because we also, again, I talked about earlier, North Stars and Foundations. I wish I would have started. I missed that. My kids are grown now, and I missed what I wish I could have taught them, or that business venture, I wished I would have listened. I wish I would have started. It's never too late to do the right thing. You're right. You can't go back and be the eighth grade valedictorian anymore. Okay, yeah, that ship just sailed. But that doesn't mean you have to quit being a student. It doesn't mean you can't still learn now. It doesn't mean you can't be taught new things now. Oh, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well, that's a good thing that you and I were only ever compared to sheep. We're sheep of his pasture. We can learn. We can learn from our mistakes, and we can then be an example for others. I like to tell this to people too. If the beginning of a book is the only thing that mattered, how come everybody wants to skip to the end? Because they want to see how it turns out. See, you are a character in development. You're a character in development right now. You're in the middle of the story. And nobody who likes to watch movies or read books wants to read a story or watch a movie about a person that nothing happens. They woke up. Nothing happened. It's no change, no weather, no this happened, and then what were they going to do? And their real life, the reason why drama draws a lot of people is because that's real. A lot of times it's real life for people. Real life, what's more relatable is we go through things. We deal with things. We have things that we have to overcome. So if in the beginning of your story, you reflect back on it and you go, I didn't get perfect attendance in school. Yeah, you can't go back and fix that. Like, yep, that's never going to happen. Yep, the failure you had, the broken marriage that you walked away from, the big things, the little things, you're right, those are in the past. But you are a part of a body of believers that the entirety of it is built upon the premise of God works all things out for the good of those who love him and are called by his name. And as long as that is who you are committed to, as long as that is who you are willing to serve, God is still in the process of writing your story. You are not the failure. You are not the culmination of all the worst things, all your worst, your low lights of the worst moment, the worst time, the worst mistake you ever made. That is not what is going to be on your tombstone one day. Your story is still being written. So who are you going to impact for the kingdom of God? Today is the day. And I want to correct one thing that I said. I want to correct one thing I said on that. I said today is the best day. Today is actually not the best day. Last week was the best day. Last month, that was the best. Last year was actually the best. 5 years ago was the best day for you to have gotten started. But you know, it's a great second today. Today's the best day you have available to you to get started. Can't go back. Can't go back. It'd have been better. But today's the best day you have available to you right now. So let's get started on that. All right. So that's the third key. That's the third key. And the last one here that I have for you is how. How. Last key, my last and final key for having goals in God is how. How, okay, I get it, Chapman. I need to have goals in God. They're set. They're firm. I have a why for those goals. I'm going to get started on it. I'm not going to keep putting it off. I'm not going to waste time. I'm going to take because we're like a vapor. Like, okay, I get all that. But how? How do I get started? Well, here's the great thing. God didn't go, here's this. Peace. You guys got it. That's not what he did. That's not what his expectation of you is. And a lot of times, people who are do-it-yourselfers, people who I would consider are very independent, people who are maybe you dealt with some abandonment at some point in your life. You struggle thinking that it's all on your shoulders. People who are really easy to ask for help typically don't struggle with this as much. But what all of us need to understand is that God didn't leave us to do this and figure this out all by ourselves. John 14, verse 15. Now read this, because the first part, you could be like, okay, I get it, but how? If you love me, obey my commandments. And get this, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit. He leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him. This is huge. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. God doesn't just say, if you love me, obey my commandments, peace. No, what he does is he said, I will give you the spirit of peace. I will give you the spirit of truth. And he will work among you and in you and advocate for you. He will produce in you the fruits of the spirit that you will not have to beg and clamor for, because he will be at work within you. And he will bring you conviction when you do what's wrong. And the hard thing about that is it's like, you're like, okay, I became a Christian so that I could have peace, and now I feel awful all the time. Don't conflate guilt and conviction as two things. They're not. Guilt is what Adam and Eve had. They had shame and guilt, and what did they do? They hid from God. Conviction is from the Holy Spirit. And he says, I know the plans and purposes that God has for you, and I know that you've said, I want to be a part of those plans and purposes, God. And you ain't doing it right now. So I bring inside of you that, shouldn't have done that. I should not have done that. And instead of turning our faces to hide from God, the Holy Spirit turns us to look at Christ, and he says, now, is this what you just did? Did you just act how your Savior act? Did you just? Now, I just want to make sure we're comparing right. And he draws us through conviction to repentance, and therefore we have peace with God. A lot of people that I know, they get saved, they have radical redemption, and all of a sudden, like, Chapman, I feel terrible all the time. Yeah, you should. You're getting spiritual spankings all the time from the Holy Spirit. He's saying, quit doing that. You're immature in the faith, and he is teaching you that you would need no one to teach you. The Holy Spirit is teaching you and convicting you on the inside. That's not how we act. That's not how we think. That's not how we speak. So how do we do it? The Holy Spirit helps us. The Holy Spirit helps us. That's on a spiritual standpoint. How do I achieve my goals? The Spirit helps you. And you take one step at a time. You take one step. You've been living your whole life as an awful person. It's going to take you some time to quit being awful. Your spirit man's been made right. But you've been awful for 35 years. It's going to take you some time to get out of the habit of quit being awful. It's going to take you some time to break those habits. But do not shun the Lord's discipline in your mind. Don't shun when the Lord speaks a word, either from the pulpit or from someone who you know loves and cares about you. Oh, God's rejecting me. That's what Adam and Eve thought would happen. But God showed up. See, whenever you sin, whenever you mess up, whenever you miss it, God shows up to bring you back, to put inside your heart the purpose, to redeem you. You have to know you're not operating spiritually like, and I love this language, but because I've heard it from Pastor Ashley and Pastor Tim, they've talked about it. You're not setting political goals. I'm going to be a nicer guy. Well, there's a long line between being nicer and murdering somebody that you're not. Well, I just cussed them out and beat them up. I didn't murder them. Well, that's nicer than. We're setting very clear goals. well, I'm going to quit doing this. That's a tangible goal. I'm going to stop letting disappointments ruin my whole day. Okay, that's a clear goal. I'm choosing to not let my day get ruined, to get derailed by a disappointment, some little thing. I'm going to quit doing that because I know God has, we're setting clear goals. And they're in God. And every step, every day, we work closer and closer. Now, I know the thought. I know the thought is, I should be so much further than I am right now. There was a time I can look back. I was doing better then, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years. Man, I was really, and now look at where I'm at. Don't forsake the small beginnings. Zechariah 4:10 says, do not despise the small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. God loves, he loves to see his children turn to him and say, God, let's go together. I want to go with you. God loves that. He loves to see what was broken be restored. You've got to know that whenever Jesus had to move the tomb off of Lazarus, and he said, Lazarus, come forth, and Lazarus came hobbling out in his bedclothes or in his funeral clothes, that God wasn't going, come on, Lazarus, do something cooler than that. I just raised you back to life, and that's all you're going to do? Just come hobbling out? You may feel like that. You may feel stiff, and you may feel like, I don't know. It may feel awkward, and the thought is, everyone's going to be looking at me. Everyone's going to be looking at me trying this. You may be that person where you've had it in your heart for a long time, and please hear me, I'm not convicting anybody, but you may feel like, I've been wanting to raise my hands in church. People are going to be looking at me, and I want people to think I'm weird, and I don't really know how to do it, you just do whatever. God loves to see that. Those are small things. Listen, you may not be good. Men, you may not have been raised to say, I love you. And to show some kind of affection. And you may be like, man, if I tell him, man, I love you like a brother, or tell your wife, man, I love you, or I tell my dad, I love you. That's going to be awkward. That's going to be weird. Just take the small steps. Don't despise the small beginnings. Take very small, and before you know it, you'll get more and more comfortable. You'll get more and more comfortable with raising your hands. Now, if people start bringing flags and trying to run around, we'll tell you to quit. Don't worry about that. We'll reel you back in. But don't worry about starting new goals. And the last thing I want to say about it is this. Any power lifter, any professional bodybuilder, any professional athlete who is training, who is lifting, who is doing any movement, any exercise, what do they always start with? Just the bar. No weight, no pressure, just the bar. Why? Perfecting the form. Protecting myself by making sure I have all the acts correctly. Am I holding this right? Am I doing this right? I'm not lifting that much. I'm not. Doesn't matter. You've got to start somewhere. Start with the bar. All the pros do it. And over time, as you build that up, whatever that goal is, whatever that thing in God that you're searching for, you're wanting to pray more, you're wanting to spend more time in the Word, you're wanting to devote a better job of serving, you want to be more committed to church, you want to stop struggling with whatever the addiction is, or whatever. Start small. Set a goal and achieve it. Don't move the goal. Don't make it be something it's not supposed to be. And I'm telling you, you'll see some real success in God. Y'all receive that today? Y'all stand with me.
Thank you for being a part of our podcast today. You will find more online messages from Christian Ministries Church, as well as location information on our website at cmchurch.net. There is a place for you at Christian Ministries Church, where it's more than a church, it's family.